If you know that this Sunday is your Sunday, let me hear you shout a very loud hallelujah. There is a wind blowing in the realm of the spirit. It's not a wind of destruction, it's a wind of harvest. And that's what I'm being shown. As it's blowing, fruits are falling. When this service ends, you will not be able to contain in your basket the things that God will do for you. You may be seated. Glory, glory. The banquet today is not one meal, it's multidimensional. God is going to be intervening in different areas of your life all at the same time. Can I hear an amen to that? Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at the five dimensions of destiny. Everybody has a destiny. Everybody's created for a purpose. And there are five dimensions to it. I will read from verse 28. We know that all things worketh together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. Two qualifications is what you need, and everything will be working for your good. Everything. Not only the good things that happen, but even the bad things that people plan against you will end up working for your good. The evil devices of Satan will help promote you even further. It's an amazing thing that when people are rightly positioned before God, it doesn't matter who comes against them, they only can help them. You can't stop. You cannot curse what God has blessed. You can't stop what God is doing. There's a way Jesus said it to Saul, actually Apostle Paul, where he used to be Saul, and he was persecuting the church. He said, you only kick your leg against the bricks. You're kicking your leg against a stone. It's your leg that will be destroyed, not the stone. Only two things. One, everything works together for those who love God. That's the first function. Number two, everything works together for good for those who are aligned to God's purpose. If you maintain a solid relationship with your Heavenly Father, with Almighty God, and then you align your life to the purpose that He has for you, the reason why he created you. You focus your life to live for that reason. There is nothing man can do. There is nothing Satan can do. There is nothing anything can do that can stop you. And so, when we come to what is called divine alignment, you know, every now and then, a vehicle that has been in motion, that has been in operation, even the ones that are parked, every now and then you go and service it. Whenever you get to that season where you need to reservice your life, your destiny. Some people have seasons of the year when they do that, like ending of the year, like this kind of time. Some beginning of the year, some middle of the year. Some even take out consecration time, withdraw from activity, take out 1 or 2 days of fasting or retreat. What you need to do is check those two areas. Nothing else. Check your relationship with God. Then check your pursuit of purpose. Check your alignment with your calling. And then check your alignment with your maker. And once you fine-tune this, you can keep going for 120 years and never lose one battle. God wants to talk to us this morning. God wants to talk to us. If the frictions of life are getting too hot, the Holy Spirit says, I should tell you, look at these two areas again. One is relationship. The other is purpose. Relationship is the foundation. Purpose is what drives on it. Relationship is the rail track. You know, the railway line. Purpose is the train itself that drives on it. Your walk with God lays the track. Then your pursuit of purpose is what drives you to speed and drives you to your destination. It's like in leadership. A leader has to learn the skill of balancing between vision and people, the pursuit of vision and the management of relationships. If a company in a business wants to keep being profitable, they have to always learn how to balance that. Why you have those that are marketing, producing, distributing, that are driving the profit, the goals of the organization. You have to have another arm that is managing relationships, managing conflicts. That's why you have HR, making sure that people are in good. Because his relationship is, he said, where there is no vision, the people perish. But where there are no people, the vision perish. And that's how it is with our Christian life. The pursuit of our destiny is so important. But we can't do that at the expense of our relationship with Him. Sometimes in the course of speed, we start losing touch. We start getting too busy. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to spend with God. We don't have time to study the Word. At that moment, something goes wrong in the engine. You start hearing noise you didn't used to hear. The crankshaft start making noise. Then you start overheating. Then something, because there is a role that oil plays in the engine that water does not play. And there is a role that water plays that the oil does not play. When oil runs over an extended period of time, it loses its viscosity. And the oil is what keeps the engine from knocking. And the oil is so important because when your engines are running, metals are rubbing upon metals. So little pieces of metals are breaking out. There is friction. So the oil in between the metals is what makes it run smooth. But even when the oil is there, those little pieces are breaking out small. The friction is reduced highly. As the oil accumulates those pieces over time, it loses its viscosity, its freshness. So what do you do when you take the car for service? They change oil. That's what going to God, being in the presence of God does. There's a fresh oil. David said it, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. So you are not running on yesterday's anointing. You are not running on stale oil. Stink, the one that has stopped delivering the result. you're not running on yesterday's manna. Because physically, you're not living on 2017 food. You're not living on the food you ate in March. If you have not eaten today, I know you have hope of eating within the next 24 hours. Because just like in the natural, spiritual resources wear out. So they need to be replenished. They need to be refueled. Help me tell your friend, you need refueling. You need refueling. You need refueling. You need refueling. Tell him you've been running. You've been running. You've been busy. You've been... There's nothing wrong with pursuit of your vision. But you need a balance. It's like in recent time, if you notice, there has been a lot of talk on social media and in different other, you know, means of communication, talking about the church needing balance. You know, they talk about how the churches in Nigeria only encourage people to pray, only encourage people to worship, and not teach them to walk. But you see, life is a balance between grace and walk. You can also tilt again. You start talking walk. You lose grace. And then you notice that your engine knocks. Show them Ecclesiastes, for the battle is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. The race is not to the swift. I wish is the most educated that are the richest. I wish once you get PhD, that translates to career success. Look at it. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. Neither ye bread to the wise. I think professor, the wise. Professors should be the richest people. Nor riches to men of understanding. When you see them talking in classroom. You know, I took a course one time. I was in a business school. And the guy was talking about wealth creation and all the different things. And after the break, we went to eat. So I sat with my prof. I said, sir, are you a millionaire? He said, no. I said, have you made, maybe you lost it? He said, I have not. Life has been very hard. I said, well, you know all these theories you're teaching us in the class. You're talking about Bill Gates, talking about William Buffett and all of that. The problem with life is that you can't give people what you don't have. You can't though. You can talk about it, you can describe it, but you can't give it. It doesn't matter how much you talk about the billions in Central Bank, you can't give it until you have it. It's either you have it in your account or you have authority to sign it. You know, power is stronger than money. Power is more valuable than money. You don't have to have money, have power. You have more than enough money. God has both riches and power. He has both resources. He has resources. Mind-boggling resources. This man makes planets. Recently, they saw what they call meteorites. How do I explain that to you? Stones that are flying in space. But this one is bigger than California. And California is bigger than Nigeria. So a small stone is not yet a planet. Let me tell you, explain these meteorites that are flying in space. You know, when you go to a building site where they are constructing a building, you have all those broken blocks and stones that they didn't use. You see some blocks, they cut it, they've used two-thirds, and they left that piece. When God finished creating the universe, different planets, over 500 billion galaxies filled with planets. All small leftover stones he didn't use. So they are flying all over the space. One of them is as big as the whole country. And so when they saw that it was traveling towards the earth, there was panic. They were advertising it, talking about it on the internet, in CNN, how close it is. If this thing hits the planet earth, it's going to destroy life. So the Americans sent a space probe to follow it. And they got so close. It was traveling at such a speed. And then they sent something to land on it to collect. And to cut a portion of it to collect was so hard.
So they decided to investigate. What kind of planet is this? They found out that the whole Californian size, Nigerian size, was made of diamond. So they knew there is a planet made of diamond, just small stones that are left from it flying. This one is diamond. There are some that are pure gold. You know why in heaven they tar streets with gold? Gold is not a precious stone to them there. It's like sand. How many people have faith here for resources beyond your level of need? We're not talking about resources to meet your needs because you are too small. If all you have is what can solve your problem, then you don't have much. There is a realm of not enough, those who can meet their needs. There is a realm of just enough, those who have enough to meet their needs. You can pay your bills. Landlords are happy. You're not owing anybody. That's just enough. But there is a realm of more than enough. How many people want to believe God for that realm? I command this morning by the authority vested in me that the boundaries will break down in your life. That God will launch you into the realm of more than enough. In the name of Jesus. That realm is where you can finance the kingdom. That realm is where you can go and help to solve social problems. That realm is where you can take a lot of people out of the street and change their life. That realm is where you can actually intervene in your community. There is somebody here, you have been struggling at the realm of not enough. Always struggling, getting embarrassed by scarcity. This service is the end of that thing in your life. A new reality starts for you from this morning. In the name of Jesus, we lift that ban of restriction on your finances. Hey, can we move ahead? Two things is what you need. You need grace, but you need work. You need to do your best. But when you finish, you need the blessing of God on the works of your hands. Give God something to bless. Give God. This is what I do. I ask for your hand to come upon my own hands so that you will no more be normal hands. Romans chapter 8, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose. So, at first level, you find relationship with God, you make peace with him. The key to peace of life is peace with God. If you are not in Christ, you are in crisis. You develop an intimate relationship with him. You get God to be your friend. Or don't even bother about getting him to be your friend. Become his friend. Because that's how love is. It's reciprocal. Souls first. It returns back to the person. We love him because he first loved us. He sowed first. Gave his life on the cross. And now he's reaping the harvest of our love. But it doesn't matter who starts it. It comes back. So sometimes when you want a particular relationship, but the person is not looking in your direction, be the one sowing first. Don't go asking first. You ask when you have built capital with the person. When you are already in the person's heart.
That's where you can ask. What many of us do is that we are too transactional that we don't have time for relationship. We only have time for our vision, for our need. We don't have time to balance this thing. You meet people, you start making requests. And then you lose the relationship. Then you have lost everything. When you meet people first, don't make demands. Make deposits. Hello? Is that not what you do with your bank? The summary of the whole Bible. The whole Bible. From Genesis to Revelation. Is that nothing goes for nothing. Actually, most of the teachings of Jesus, he used parables, and his favorite parable is seed. If he's not talking about this parable of the tare and the wheat, he will talk about the parable of the sower, or the parable of, in all of them, nothing goes for nothing. It's input-output cycle that governs life. It's giving and receiving. It's sowing and reaping. Somebody can pray for now till Jesus come for a baby. But when you finish praying, there has to be sex before a baby will appear. There has to be. Not even Jesus came without sowing and reaping. The difference is that in spiritual reproduction, you don't use sex. You use the word. God's word is God's seed. And God is not the only one that does word farm. That's what we're doing here in church. Whatever you want people to become, you start investing the knowledge, the prophetic declaration of that thing in their lives. Because the Bible said in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. And there was nothing created that was created. Or nothing was made. John chapter 1. Without him was not anything made that was made. You better understand that. You might be at 0 point. You don't have money. You don't have a job. But you have a mouth. Start speaking the future you want. Because everything you see begins with word. In the beginning. Hey, John chapter 1. I'm starting from verse 1. In the beginning was the word. When there was no mountain. No cattle. No animals. No nothing. When God had no material things. When he had no angels, when he had nothing, what he had was his mouth. It doesn't matter where you are now. If you know how to plant word seed, you can get out of it. Amen. I don't think you're hearing me. There is nothing that happens for nothing. There has to be a sowing before a reaping. It's work, then pay. Services, then remuneration. If you start collecting things without giving value back, you will end up in trap. You might succeed the first time, because that's what criminal activities are. You are getting something for nothing. Even if somebody is dashing you money, find another value you give him. Starting with thank you. Starting with once in a while. Call him and find out how he's doing. Send him SMS and ask about his welfare. Because being somebody's friend is a form of value. All needs are not material. We have emotional needs. We have social needs. We have spiritual needs. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. This thing can change your life. What you say with your mouth. All things. A destiny. Prosperity can be made by it. The next job can be created with your mouth. Your marriage is made by your words. It's your words that is destroying that place, that home. Change what you're saying. Not only to your spouse, what you are saying about that family. And the family changes. Women are made by words, they are destroyed by it. You know the kind of words you say that makes a woman fall in love? That's what you say to keep a woman in love. You don't only say it to chase and catch her. You say it all the time to keep her. We make the mistake of saying the right things to catch. And then we start saying the wrong things that scatters. All things. Problems are also made by it. Divorce is made by words. If you can control your mouth, you can control your life. If you can control your tongue, you can control your destiny. If you can control your mouth, you can control your career. Stop saying those things that if it gets to management, problem will start with you. Let other people be talking against the authorities. If you know you have your eye on promotion, don't get involved in speaking against management. You see, like in Nigeria, a lot of things going on. People are talking all sorts of things, attacking government. If you're interested in eating the goods of this land, don't be involved in speaking evil about Nigeria. He said, if you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. A group of people were living in the promised land. They were the Hittites, seven nations. Hittites, Amorites, Jebusites. Do you know what they call that place? The land that eats up its inheritance. If Nigeria is the land that everybody should escape from, cross a desert to go to Europe, enter Italy, it's a place you should run away from. What are the Indians flying here? What are the Chinese flying here for? What are the whites every time you are in the airport? Why are they trooping here for? I think the problem is many of us can't see. Africa is the only virgin left on planet Earth. The other ones I've been raped and raped, abused and abused and abused until there is nothing left. The breast is now flat. Everything is sucked up. This is where you still have fresh juice. This is the continent. It needs people with a new way of thinking. People who can see opportunities where other people see problems. And then you start speaking in that direction. Because you cannot get to the palace talking like a pauper. If you want to get to power, don't sin against power. That's what Satan does. He has seduced a number of believers who are next in line for promotion. There's something wrong. Don't follow public opinion, no. That's how in the time of Noah, only 8 people made heaven. Everybody was wiped out. The multitudes are not right. You want everybody to be in the gutter so that you know that there are good men. Everybody must be poor so that there will be good people. He said, flying aircraft is your problem. Is he meant to be flown by who? Satan's children or God's children? Get your mind corrected, my friend. That's your problem. You meet a man that has white, then he has one dot somewhere. Your eye is focused on the dot. You forget the whole white. Not saying the men are perfect, but that's why your own journey has stopped. Because the enemy, what keeps your destiny moving is your mouth. He got your mouth filled with filth and dirt. And you are trying to pull other people down with your mouth. Your own destiny is grounded. You see somebody going somewhere, bless him, and you join. Your own destiny will start going somewhere. He said, Lord, I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. You see, a blessed man, be careful what you do, especially if he got his blessing from God. Yeah, I understand. Sometimes there is too much tilting towards vision that there is need to balance with people.
Maybe the poor is being forgotten. Maybe this is being forgotten. It's just balancing. It happens. It happens to you. Sometimes you get too busy with your own career. You start neglecting your relationship with God. And sometimes people get too busy. They start neglecting their marriage, their children. There is need for balance. It happens to leaders. It happens to the led. Don't make it special. Hello. I hope you still like me. A doctor's job is not to give you sweet, sweet things. It's to give you what will kill you. How many of you love your destiny? You want to move? Then that's my job this morning. I have a special assignment from heaven. Everybody that is on a pause. You know how your movies are playing and they put a pause. The thing has stopped playing. I'm under divine assignment to command movement again. Any destiny that is on a halt this morning, we disconnect the halt and put it back into motion. In the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. You see a man God is using, you go criticizing him. Is yourself you bury. You bury yourself. And then after you start running around wondering where the demons come from. You see? But thank God, we can change direction at any time. Glory be to the name of Jesus. Verse 28, all things work together for good. So you can understand when Joseph's brothers planned to sell him. The only thing they did was end up buying the visa he needed to go to Egypt where his dream will be fulfilled. It doesn't matter who gangs up against you. It doesn't matter who they are. If you are in line with the plan of God, the purpose of God, and then you live that life that pleases him, no human being. No human being. I said no human being. Oh, they were killing the newborns in Egypt. Who were they looking for? Moses, the deliverer. The mother carried the boy, put in a basket, and dropped in River Nile. And Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter found Moses. She said, this is one of the Hebrew boys. Why didn't you just say security, come and kill? No. They gave Moses, because this is a poor family. They gave Moses royal treatment. Adopted him into the royal house. Raised him, sent him to the best universities in Egypt. According to the Bible, it said he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. So whatever level of education they had then, Moses learned all of them. Trained him till he was 40, when he was now ready for his assignment. You see, the person they were looking for, they end up training. It doesn't matter what people plan against you. Help me tell the person beside you, I'm a person of destiny. So be careful what you do with me. Romans chapter 8. Let's get to verse 29 now. Everybody says, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I'm under a divine assignment this morning. For whom he did for you. Oh. This is where we come to the five stages of destiny. Before I give you that, I need to give you the three most powerful questions about destiny that Paul asks. In verse 31, he asks, what shall we then say to these things? And all the questions were asked and answered. The answers were provided.
In verse 33, he asks, second question, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And he added, same question, who is he that condemneth? That's verse 34. First question is, what shall we say to this? What things? That's what I'm about to show you. The five things. If you understand it, you will be amazed. Second question, who can condemn somebody that God has chosen? Somebody that God has elected. Who are you to lay any charge against him? Verse 35, he asks the last question. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Let's start with the first. The answer to the first, what shall we say to these things? Paul lays the answer in what is the five stages of a destiny. And that's verse 31. Do you know how he answered verse 31 question? He said, what shall we say to these things? The answer is, if God be for us, who can be against us? So if God is on our side, he don't have enough demons or enough human beings that can stop us. But the question is, what shall we say to these things? So you need to understand those things that made him reach this conclusion. There are five stages of destiny. Number one, and that's what he started listing them from verse 29, and it's found in verse 29 and 30. Five stages of destiny. Number one, foreknowledge. Foreknowledge. God knew you before you were conceived in your mother's womb. Number two, predestination. God set your end before your beginning. Number three, calling, divine calling. Because of the plan that God had for you, that's why he brought you to himself. Number four, justification. Now that God that called you has declared you righteous. He wiped away all your sins and declared you not guilty by a divine verdict of the court of heaven. And that's one of the reasons why he said, who is he that will condemn a man that God has justified? If the court of heaven has thrown away every case against you, then who? Verse 5 is glorification. Okay, let's get busy. Number 5 is where everybody's trying to go. Glorification is ultimate promotion. Glorification is where your destiny ends. That's when everything you have dreamt of, God has shown you, has now happened. It's a reality. Many things we're dreaming of yesterday, a few years ago, right now we're living in it. You know, I remember, for example, this auditorium when we were still dreaming of it. And then we were dreaming of buying this land or another land around here. And then finally, we bought it. Wow. And then we're dreaming of this. I don't need to let you know, what we're dreaming of now is a campground for 100,000 people. Because I'm sure you saw what happened last year, camp meeting. We're half in the east, half here. 2 days in Lagos, 2 days in the east. Our mandate is to go and save lives. That's what Jesus died on the cross for. As long as the church stays true to that mission, you will not have enough building. You will not have enough facility. Building is not our assignment. Building is for human beings. Or do you prefer to be here under the heat? Do you prefer to be here? Rain will be falling on you. Which one do you prefer? Or do you prefer that we're able to talk to you and lose our voice because we can't use PA system? What kind of nonsense is this thing that is going around? It says somebody's building 100,000 seats. That's what you are having sleepless night on. Is the building not for human being? The Sabbath is for man, not man for Sabbath. If they've grown where they need that, let them build it. And because they've grown to that place where they need it, they can contribute their little quarter. They will have the resource to build it. The principle of ministry is don't jump before your time. Don't go say your friends are marrying. You are 8-year-old girl. You jump into marriage. Mature into things. Some things are for today. Some things are for tomorrow. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
There was a time we were believing God for a venue to seat 150 people. The whole Dominion City worldwide. 150 people. And it was such a big thing. But one thing about the Great Commission, it's not a local commission. It's a go to all the world. It's not a local commission. So it's not also done with local resources. Doesn't matter what is happening in Nigeria economy or not, it doesn't stop us. It doesn't. We just came back from a tour of a number of nations. It doesn't. You cannot tell me to go to all the world and win the lost and then trap me with the policy of your local government. No. It's a global mission, so it goes with global resources. That's why grow your business and move it beyond local business. Make it global business. Have an international vision. Learn the principles of international trade. So that when things are going wrong in one locality, one country, you are not trapped. You can fall back on this one. It's like this aircraft thing they talk about. I laugh. Somebody whose issues is Alaba and back is disturbing, discussing a man who is dealing with nations, who is crossing boundaries, reaching nations. It's because of people like that they created aircraft. And you know, some of you are making aircraft look like something so big. Very soon, some of you will have it. Because that's how it's, you know, a Nigerian has done space tourism. But right now, not many people, because it's still new. Virgin Atlantic has space tourism now. You can go to space and spend 1 week summer. All you just have to do is to afford it. But now the price is coming down. More people are going. It's coming down. You remember when computer came out? Remember when mobile phone came out? A few people could afford it in this country. And when you have one, it's usually big. You carry it like this. They know you're a big man. Of course, you need a PA to carry it for you. Then you'll be walking in the front. Now, after a while, you turn, bring it. You do, hello. Everybody can see that you are making a call. They were posing with it. No, it's not a big deal. Having a Range Rover is not a big deal. Having the latest Mercedes is not a big deal. Stop trapping yourself in that one small world. You can be planted locally, but go global. At least start with your mind. Start with your words, and your life will follow.
I declare that all the walls holding you down in your mind are broken. It's no big deal. It's not a big deal. Very soon, it will be more normal to fly than to drive. Where we are now, cars are even flying. What they are still figuring out is how to sort out the air route. And then the mass production will start. It's already happening in abroad and other. People come out of their garage, they meet traffic, they punch another button down the air. Cars also go on water. You get to Lagos Lagoon, third mainland is filled. You just go inside water and come out at Ojota. The same cow, you press one button, it goes into the water. You come out the other, you press a button, the tires come out, and you just drive to work. That's what technology is, to make life easier. So when it comes out initially, they start killing us with price. Price of aircraft will so fall. But that's how closer we are getting. Can I hear you say amen? I see people that are going to use technology to make life better for people. He said, to show that you are spiritual, you are good. Every day, go there. Stand. Zero. What's that? 090 what? The old 910 line. And then everybody will queue in line. They are cursing the one inside. He's receiving call from abroad. I remember once I was there, I cursed out the guy because the guy didn't want to end this call. But the same guy has been online. So he got to his turn. He wants to gist. I don't know who he was talking to. And we're all outside. Those days are over. That's how this thing you are calling aircraft and for which you are not going to go to heaven. You are criticizing, you have turned bitter. That's how it's going to be, oh. Flying cars, flying all sorts of things. Now, I hope you know you can buy your product and something will do zoo, drop it for you in your compound. You didn't go out anywhere. That's why our brothers that created Alaba International, Idumota, Omata, Area, area, we need to wake up. Oh, the world is changing. Oh, Zoomia and all this other online shopping is getting more serious. So, what you need now is to invest money in warehousing, because no matter how you buy online, there has to be a place where they will get the product. Invest more on warehousing. Invest more on online shopping. Government is breaking down shop, breaking. You can't break down online shop. The world is not a global village. Can I hear somebody? Help me tell your friend now, break the walls down. Nobody can hold you down. It's not like that time anymore. Whatever you have developed that is good. I said, when you lie now is when people come and you are not delivering what you are promising. Make sure that you deliver. And then that one customer satisfaction will lead to 1,000 more customers. And nothing works like word of mouth or endorsement. One person telling others, one person helping to. The endorsement of others is more powerful than what you're saying about yourself. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Person is saying, give me money, pray for me for money, so that everything is not about money. Wisdom is better than money. It will create money and leave you more profit left. Okay, let's get back to this question. Okay, number one is for whom he foreknew, verse 29. Romans 8, verse 29. For those he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now the goal here is to get them to be like Jesus, to be conformed to the image of Christ, so that
Jesus will just be the firstborn among his brothers. That's the goal. But the five steps to unfolding of God's plan for your life, the first is foreknowledge. The second is predestination. Go to verse 30, you see the remaining one. And those he predestinated, them he called. So the third is divine calling, or the call of God on your life. The fourth is those he called, them he justified. Justification. And then the last is those he justified, them he glorified. Now, let's touch the last one. Glorification is when Joseph is now sitting on the throne, prime minister of Egypt. The dream has become a reality. God has promoted him. God has exalted him. Glorification for Jesus is when they made him King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and told him, sit down at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The full cycle of his destiny has been completed. Glorification is where you are going when God has finished making what he wants to make out of you. He has exalted you. He has elevated you. He has placed you in that place. Everybody looks at you. You are a testimony. You are a success. But you're on your way to that place. The first thing God does is foreknowledge. God knew you. And that's what Paul said. If you understand the five things, then you can say, what can we say to these things? God knew you before your parents even came together. You are not an accident. You are not an afterthought. What is foreknowledge? Is that period when God conceived you in his heart. What is calling? Go to number three. Is that period when that vision God has in his heart enters your own heart? The day God got pregnant in heaven and he knew about you and he began to dream about you is the starting point. You started in the heart of God, not in the heart of your parents. You started in the mind of God, not in the womb of your parents. God carried you in his womb before your mother carried you in her womb. You did not start here, you started there. I like it. Jesus said, I came from heaven and I go back to him that sent me. Have you ever read this scripture? Maybe you should show it to them. Whatsoever is born of God overcome the world. Actually, the scripture said, overcome it. It will keep defeating the world. Doesn't matter what you throw at it. Doesn't matter how many devils come against it. Doesn't matter how many people arrange against it. It will defeat all of them. Realize it. You are born of God. You were conceived in the mind of God. And he dreamt of you. And he saw you. God looked and saw this young man. And saw the kind of future he was going to have. Dreamt of him. Even gave him a name before he was born. Called him Joseph. So that this young man is the one that will save people from famine during a time of economic distress in the land of Egypt. He's going to rise up a deliverer. And he now went to verse 2, which is predestination. Predestination is now the plan of God. Foreknowledge is the dream of God, is the vision of God. Now that God has a dream for your life, has seen your future ahead of time, he goes to second stage where he plans your life before you are even created. Predestination is setting the end before the beginning. Let me ask you, when do you put goalposts in a match? When the match ends or before the match starts? That's how God works. God does not start with the beginning. God starts with the end. Destinies are pre
arranged. Okay. Thank you, sir. I will do that. The Lord said, use word picture, they will get it faster. They're using many words. You know, here in Dominus, we built a number of facilities. And when a group of our sons here wanted to build a house for me, they had a dream and all of that. But finally, they communicated the dream, and so he got inside me. It was their dream for their pastor. But finally, once that dream has been made known to me, you are at level 3. That's what is called calling. Calling is the time revelation has been given you of your destiny. That's not when the destiny actually started. The destiny was there before you were born, but that's the time you discovered it. The calling, when you say, like me, who wanted to work in oil company and all that, and I say, I was called by God to be a pastor. I was not called to be a pastor the day I discovered that. That's the day the vision left God's heart and was successfully communicated to me, and I bought into it. That's why I'm doing it now. So they sent a group that approached me, and they talked to me. I said, okay, that's good. You can go ahead, you know. They said, but we need to know some of the things you like. I said, okay, if you get the architect, he can sit down with me, and I will tell him a few things. Because the way you build for a businessman is not how you build for a pastor. For example, I work with a library, and I have a lot of books. A lot of them. So things like study, things like library, such things matter to me. So they brought this architect, and he sat down with me, and he had some basic concepts, and then I would tell him this, I would tell him that, and then I would talk to Pastor Sarah, and he would say this, and after that, they came out with a drawing. That is what we mean by predestination. Predestination is to build a building before you start building it. That building that is already finished on paper is what you finally engage a contractor to produce in the physical. Your destiny was finished before it started. Predestination is developing the architectural drawing. It's developing the blueprint. There's even something God does in predestination. Sometimes he even creates a prototype for the man that is to come. He will send somebody, sometimes before you are born, to run the race you are about to run. A similar race, to leave you footprints to follow. How do I explain that? Do you know about Elijah in the Bible? Elijah was fulfilling his destiny, but Elijah was a prototype for Elisha. You know about Elijah in the Bible? Elijah lived 700 years before John the Baptist. But Elijah, who lived 700, was a prototype for John the Baptist, was going to come 700 years after. So when he arrives, he's not confused. There is a model. There is a role model. There is somebody he can look at his life and say, okay, I'm to model my ministry after this. Yes, there might be a difference here and here, but at least I have the basic guidelines to follow. Hello? That's why you don't follow everyone. Even in ministry, you know, when you go to the church that you are called to be in, once you hear the message, it gets inside you and resonates. And then what you do is that you enter into a covenant to be part of that place, to be part of building that place. You know. You don't join a church because that's your parents' church. You don't join a church because the person is from your village. You don't join a church because the person is from your tribe.
You don't join a church because they get back to us in this church. You are training to be a businessman. You get to Lagos to find out there is Lagos Business School. They have the resources to prepare you for that. You don't say no. What my dad and mom attended was St. Patrick Lumumba Primary School. And that's where they stopped. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. But your own destiny, you are called to go where? Take the family's destiny to another level.
When you come to where you belong, the message, you should know who is sent to you. You should know who you are sent to. The people you are sent to will hear you. If they're not listening to you, leave them alone. You're not meant to reach everybody. You are reaching another person's assignment. But you should know who is sent to you. The person that is sent to you, his words reaches you like no man. Don't take such person like no man. Don't play with like me. I know who sent to my life. Their words are life to me. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are life, they are spirit. That's how those words are. Any other person's words can be advice, can be whatever. Not my spiritual father. Not. He said, my sheep hear my voice. If they can't hear it, they are not mine. It's like here. Somebody who is not interested in going to heaven, coming to the university, he won't. Because the vehicle has a destination. We are here to execute the dominion mandate, but get people to their eternal destiny in Christ. There is no, you can't get that vehicle to another direction. We will not allow you. When we, develop pastors, we hardly hire pastors, Even when we do, they have to get trained to understand what we are doing here. When we develop pastors, and then you get that person who is not interested in people's eternal destiny, and we work on him, work on him, and we find out he is not. Because we're not going to allow him to destroy other people's lives. Once in a long while, we get situations like that. Help me tell your friend, you are in a dominion environment. So the enemy cannot take you out. In foreknowledge, God is dreaming about me. He has seen me ahead of time. In predestination, he settles down and takes paper and develop my future and a plan for my life and put it down. At that moment, purpose is born. You see, purpose precedes birth, and purpose precedes even your parents' marriage. And because your purpose required that you're going to be a black man, that's why they put you in Africa. And you can go global from here. Yes, sir. If your purpose required that you will be an American, because the purpose was designed before you were born, they will have put you in the womb of a white woman, a white man. Help me tell him, that man beside you are not an accident. You are not an afterthought. God planned your life ahead of time. Then you get to level 3 where the calling of God comes. And it comes in two ways. The first is he calls you to relationship. Remember where we started. There are two things that if they are in place, nothing can work against that man, no matter who he generates. No matter, all things will work for his good. First, relationship with him. Second, alignment with his purpose. The first thing he tries to do is to call you into relationship with himself. He wants the potter and the
the clay to come into alignment so that the molding can begin. In other words, this clay already has a purpose. I plan to make a pot. I plan to make a cup. I plan to make a knife. So let's now begin. So he calls you into relationship. Second is that he reveals his purpose for your life to you. Yeah, that's what people say. So there are two callings. So one is calling to relationship. That's when you give your life to Christ. The other is calling to your assignment. That's when you find your destiny. Let me make that point clear. Those are the two things you need to have a maximized life, a fulfilled life. Now, there is a joy that comes when you come to Christ and you become a Christian and you give your life to Christ and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful experience. Thank God for it. And, you know, but after a while, after being a Christian, if you don't find purpose, if you are living a life without meaning, a new frustration will set in, because God saved you for a reason. He didn't just save you to be wasting. Let my people go. That's what he said to tell Pharaoh. Go, tell Pharaoh, let my people go, that they might serve me. You see the purpose? That they might serve me. You see the purpose? Salvation is for service. You are created for a purpose. You are saved to serve. You are saved so you can save others. You are saved so you can become a savior. We were in Umuahia Stadium. I'm so grateful for you. This man, you need to see the number of criminals, armed robbers, gangsters that gave their life to Christ when he finished talking that night. The stadium was jammed. Young people. I read that message, but I don't want it to go too far until they are properly discipled. The ones that came, he said, we came that night to rob people. This man, God saved him while he was in prison. There were the boys causing commotion all over Europe, selling drugs. He told his story, how he has traveled to so many countries, and finally, I think it was in Sweden, he went to prison. Sweden. And he was supposed to spend how many years?
15 years, but I spent 8 years.
He gave his life to Christ. That's when the calling, first to relationship, then later he came back. And then God began to show, the reason I saved you from debt, saved you from prison, I didn't even allow you to finish the whatever. The moment you came to me, I cut short your stay, is because I want you now to be a missionary to prisoners. You have been to how many prisons since then?
195 prisons.
195. I think maybe next time I come, you need to show some of those videos. Because we had all these giant screens. He was showing it in the stadium. He was talking about, he talked about events in different prisons and show different scenes. You will see people coming to Christ in their hundreds, in their thousands. Prison crusades. Now, he found relationship with God and he found purpose. You are saved to serve. When you find your purpose, you find your provision. Provision doesn't come first. Purpose will go first, provision will start following. Hey! Isn't he a big man now? Even this time, we just came back, I was reading one of the reports again. Almost all the prisons you've been to, sometimes you declare to them when they start being serious with God that God will release. I saw another, two different cases, hundreds of prisoners being released. So many cases. He will give them the same prophetic word like it happened to him. They become serious with God. Next thing, they are released. Next thing, life sentence is reduced to 2 years. It has happened and happened and happened and happened and happened. You're looking for what it causes. There are so many of such things going on here. We don't go around making noise. That's what it is. You have your own assignment. You are saved for a purpose. So one hand, you should have salvation. The other hand, you have a purpose. The next thing, you create the engine that supplies the finance. It could be a business, it could be whatever. And there are people who have found a way to make their purpose also their business. Those ones are the happiest people on earth. They don't wake up on Monday having all these Monday blues. Because it's what they love, they do, and they are paid for it. Ah. Your career is what is giving you heart attack. Your purpose is what you love to do. It's what you're created to do. Right now, you might hate it, but until you try it, and then until you start, you see the fulfillment it brings. Nobody can stop you from doing it. Now, when God called me to preach, I hated it. Now, you can't give me enough money to stop me. When you see the power of saving one life, power of seeing a barren woman set free, the power of seeing a blind eyes open up, the power of seeing somebody that have given up no future, you see the destiny turn, the power to save, to transform life, there's nothing like it in this world. God has given you money. That money has a mission. When you keep something and not know why, abuse sets in. And then somewhere along the line, what is meant to be a blessing becomes a curse. Money you have, a portion of it is for you. The other is for an assignment. Your role in the kingdom and your assignment in other people's lives. When your time is up, they will recall you back home like how they recall ambassadors. They posted you to Nigeria, U.S. ambassador to Nigeria. It's not forever. You're on mission. A diplomatic mission. When the time is up, they call you back home. The question will be, when it's time to give account, what did you do with the opportunity, the privileges you were given? And like I always say, you do the king's business, the king will pay the bills. It will become his job to bring that contract. It will become his responsibility to give you that connection. It will become his responsibility to open up that door. You won't have to beg him too much. Before you call, he will answer. Because God himself needs you. The fourth stage is justification. What happens with justification is that God declares you not guilty, gets rid of your sin, cleanses you from everything that could have condemned you. All those charges the enemy had against you, why he's pursuing you, why he's coming after you, the sins of your fathers, your own personal sin, all the mess you got into, he wipes them out with the blood of Christ, declares you not guilty, and annuls all the accusation of the enemy against you. Say with me, I've been justified. Say, I've been made righteous. But there is another program that he carries out at the fourth level. The fourth level is also where he goes beyond justification. He will start working out to produce the righteousness of Christ in you. Now, let me make it clear now, because this is where some of these guys that preach grace get into trouble. Righteousness is given to us in two ways. First, by imputation. The other is by impartation. Imputation is they took the righteousness of Christ, put it to your account. You didn't work for it. You didn't do anything to earn it. God made you righteous because he made Jesus sin in your place. He who knew no sin was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. That is justification. But, my brothers and sisters, after justification, there is a long gap that begins, and that's where people waste time in their destiny. That long gap is where God start carrying out what I read for you. Verse 29, show it to them one more time. Those he foreknew, them he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So in your predestination, Pastor Frank, God, when he was writing his plan for your life, there's one thing he put there for every one of his children. I'm going to work on you till you become like Christ. You are going to be conformed to the image of Christ. Your character will be formed. Your nature will be changed till you are like Christ. When you get to that point, then my work is truly finished. At this stage, God is not working on the vision. He's working on the visionary. At this stage, the man comes to church. God, help me. My business. I need breakthrough. I need this. God said, no, no, no. The breakthrough we need is you. I want to succeed with you because I want to make you like me. Then I'll give you all that you are asking for. I need to work on your character. You are still not a person of integrity. You are not trustworthy. Look at the little things they committed to you. Look at how he failed. Look at the promises where you make vows. You have not paid them. He said, Lord, but I didn't pay because I don't have the money. He said, calculate how much you spend on phone, how much you spend on landlord, how much you spend on different things. You see how you have the money came because it didn't come in bulk. It came small, small. It's just that you have not learned integrity. Look at what you're doing with your marriage vows. You can't even keep a vow you made in my name. So he said, the vision is not the issue. The visionary is the project here. We have to work on you to mature you. Because no matter how much you love your baby boy in primary school, you can't give him a Mercedes Benz. The child might kill somebody or somebody will kill that child. I want to give you all that I've promised you, but you need to mature. You need to learn to walk in love. You need to learn to walk in integrity. You need to learn to walk in humility. I don't want small blessing it gets to your head. You need to learn to keep your mouth shut. You need to learn to control your emotions. You need to learn to control your sexual passion. You need to learn to see women and still be normal. Is it this way that you are? If I make you pastor, how many girls you will get pregnant? Is it this way you are? I make you manager. You start abusing people who came there to get a job. Is it this way that you are? You want me to make you governor? Character formation, spiritual formation before glorification. That's the part that these our boys preaching grace are missing. They just tell people about justification, but they won't tell them about the formation, about discipleship, about becoming like Christ. They tell them you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ, but the reason is so that you can actually become a righteous person like Jesus.
Jesus died for our salvation, but he lived as our example.
And we are to live modeling our lives after him. He died for our justification, but he lived as our model. That's why the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Hello. I declare today that the work of molding will be fastened in your life. It will be hastened in your life. In the name of Jesus. Because
this is where a lot of people are wasting too much time. They don't understand that it is God, that there is a working of God that is not external, that is internal. It's not God working for you, it's God working in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, to get you to be a man that is trustworthy, a man that can be depended upon, a man of character, a man of value. And then on such a man, he puts dominion. It is that formation that finally leads to glorification. At the time Joseph's purpose was revealed to him, he was 17. At the time when he was placed on the throne, he was 30. What was going on for 13 years? Spiritual formation, character formation. God was molding the man that will rule the world. And as declared, knowing that he's the potter, yield to his dealing. Stop resisting him. The person you should resist is the devil. But to God you submit. If you don't submit to God, demons will not submit to you. They might respect your authority when you exercise it, but they will be messing up your life after that. Submit yourself, therefore, to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. At the time Jesus was 12, he told the mother, "Didn't you know I will be about my father's business?" He has seen his destiny, his assignment, but he was launched into it at the age of 30. What happened for 18 years? The shaping, the molding of the man God uses. The making of the man God uses. So while you pray for a husband, pray that God will make you the kind of wife that you're supposed to be. Don't just ask for things. Ask for capacity to handle it. Okay. Paul said, your destiny is finished. You're not an afterthought. So Satan cannot change what God has planned. The only person that can get you off track is you. Because you can pull out from your relationship with him, or you can decide to abandon that assignment. It's only you that can do that. But if you stay with him and stay on your course, you don't have enough devil to defeat that man. I want to end. There's so much to see milk here, but I want to end. And this is how I end. Verse 37, Pastor Frank. This is amazing. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that what? That loved us. Wow. This is where we end. In this battle of destiny, there are three kinds of people. In all these things, we are more than what? Conquerors. How? Through him that loved us. The first group are those that are less than conquerors. They are losers. They are defeated. And the Lord said, I should discuss this. Because there are people here, and they asked me to decree a shift from that place of defeat to the place of victory. This group are defeated. Why? Because of one mistake that many people make. Some make it at the beginning, some make it later. There are some people who are starting their life and they start making that mistake. There are some, they started doing it the right way until they started succeeding. When they start succeeding, they switch back to that mistake. What's the mistake? Relying on their own abilities and on their own wisdom. These are the people who engage the battles of life and not take God along, because they think their talents, their skills, their connections, their wisdom can get them through. They think they can make it. They think, I'm too much. Somebody said this, and it got into me. He said, the lion wakes up every day, and he prays one prayer. He said, Lord, show me the animal I will eat today. Don't help him, and don't help me, because I can take care of it. So he said, that's what the devil does every day when he wakes up. Show me somebody to devour today. Don't help that person and don't help me. Because the only problem I have when I come after people is when I see you there. I know there is trouble. You see, the issue here is not having God with you. Because your faith is on man. Your faith is on yourself. I think you will get in when I show you this scripture. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 4 and 5. Thus said the Lord, cursed is the man that trusts in man, that maketh the flesh his arm. You're relying on your own ability, the arm of the flesh, whose heart departs from the Lord. You see, you can't have faith in God and have faith in self. You can't have faith in God and have... You see, you don't know that when connection has become your confidence, that your heart has departed from God. That's what people don't know. They still think, they still have that faith of God. And sometimes it might be the power of God or the faith of God that brought you to where you are, but now you have started relying on your own wisdom. You have started relying on the arm of the flesh. Now you start questioning the Bible. This is you that started well. Now when they talk, you question, You know that's how man fell. Did God say we cannot eat of the tree of the garden? That's what the devil does. When the word of God is coming, you'll be busy questioning it. The heart has departed from the Lord. Now, the motion, a destiny that was on motion, has been granted. Months has passed, nothing is happening. Years have passed, nothing. And yet he cannot rest where the problem is. But it is you that put your leg on the brake and drew your crutch. This morning the Lord said, I shall ask you to remove your leg from that brake. Return to me and I will return unto you. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. Oh, look at what he said. He said, that man, verse 6, please add verse 6, let them see. That man that trusts in man is living under a curse. And verse 6 said, for he shall be like the heat in the desert. Have you heard of the Sahara Desert? Kind of heat there. That's how his life will be. And shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited. His life will be in a parched place where nothing grows, nothing prospers. Okay, show them verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Next verse. He shall be like the tree planted by the waters. You know why I'm doing well? There is a river of life that is flowing, that is energizing my root, that is behind, is the unseen behind what you see. It's the presence of God, it's the backing of God that's making things happen. People now give you credit, but I know where the thing is coming from. That's what happened to some of us after we start taking it for granted. Take the blessing of God for granted. Take the health you have for granted. Take your success for granted. And then you start shifting to sensual knowledge. Motivational talks. Empty words that have nothing in it. And you disconnect from the living waters. And all of a sudden, a man and a blessed man start withering away. The trees start withering. The leaves start growing. The leaves that used to be green is now drying up. You're now too wise to tithe. You're now too big to be a giver. When you were nobody, see how you are running around crying to God. You're now too big for the Bible because you did some course, one business, stupid business school. Acquired one or two skills. The man that trusts in the Lord is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The leaves will always be green. Look at it. He says, he shall not see where heat cometh. Doesn't matter the economic condition, if the man keeps prospering. He shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall he cease from yielding fruits. There is recession, they devalue naira, it doesn't stop you from prospering. So that's the first group. They are not conquerors. They are less than conquerors. They are defeated. And it's just wanting. They remove the source of victory from their life. And now all their efforts have grounded them. All their natural wisdom have not led them anywhere. Why don't you humble yourself and repent and go back to where you missed it and pick things up again? So, number two, those who are conquerors. They win all the time. What's their secret? Because God fights alongside with them. Their secret is that God is with them. Pastor knows the anointing guarantees victory all the time. The presence of God guarantees 360 degrees victory. What's the difference between them and the other man? The men who are conquerors, who are winners, are men and women of faith. Whatsoever that is born of God, please put it up. Let them see. Overcometh the world. And then he explains the secret of their victory. He said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory. This is what gives them the victory, even our faith. That's where you find David. That's where you find Joshua. That's where you find many of the mighty men of God in the Bible. That's where you find many of the mighty men in life. And the mystery about men of faith is that they don't walk by their sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. They don't care what they see. They don't care what the circumstances are. They don't care what the news are saying. They believe God. They act on his word. And his word overrules the circumstance on their behalf. They don't care whether it's Goliath. David said, the Lord that delivered me from the mouth of the lions. Lions came against me. I defeated them. The bear came against me. I defeated them. That God that delivered me from the mouth of the lions and the bear, he would deliver me from the hand of this Goliath. He would just end up like one of them. And that's exactly what happened. This man did their part, but through faith, they bring God to do his part. So they work hard, but they connect to grace. That's why you see some of them, they understand the power of honor. To connect to the anointing. They understand the power of sacrifice. They understand the place of giving. They understand divine partnership. They understand covenant connection. But leprosy, you don't get it cured, it will eat not just the hand that contacted it, it will eat that whole man down. When you see trailer fail break, don't go and wedge it with your Volkswagen. It will crush. Clear from the road. Because if angels can fall, men of God can fall. Men of God are still human beings. That's why you should pray for them. Just like they pray for you. I said to him, is he not a stupid goat that wishes that lion will eat his the mother? I said, when lion finish eating your mother, what will he do with you? He uses it for dessert. You're praying for mighty men to go down, and you are joining your voice to bring them down. What do you think will happen to you? So you see, you have less than conquerors. They disconnected from faith. They disconnected from the wisdom of God. Instead of relying on the wisdom of man, instead of relying on the arm of the flesh, instead of lying. Then you have conquerors who are men that walk by faith, who trust God, and that's what you read all through your Bible. By the authority vested in me, I command this morning, anyone here that is drowning, the enemy somehow have reached out with that leprosy, that Ebola, to corrupt your faith, to tamper with the pure Christian life that you receive, I command a restoration, a turnaround in your life. You see, it's because he's jealous of your progress. That's why he wants to stop it. He's now teaching you how to question God. That's what he told them in the garden. Has God said, I silence that voice of the enemy in your life. In the name of Jesus, I command the activation of the faith of God in your life again. I command the activation of revelation knowledge. I command the activation of the love of God in your heart. In the name of Jesus. Oh, my brothers, the conclusion that Paul said, we are more than conquerors, not just conquerors, we are more than conquerors. And he explains how, through him that loved us. You see, the conquerors are the ones that fought. God fought with them. God helped them. God was with them. But the more than conquerors are the ones that win without fighting. Why? Because God fought their battles. Exodus 14 verse 13. We've given you three course meal today. Moses said to the people, you remember when they were coming out of Egypt and the army of Pharaoh pursued them? You remember that story? And they were between Pharaoh's army and the red blue sea, and fear grabbed them. These people are not people who didn't face any battle. None of them
went through life without battles. If you read Romans 8 very well, he said, what shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, shall trials, shall principalities, shall even death? He listed a lot of problems. The secret to victory for men who are conquerors is faith. The secret to victory for men who are more than conquerors is the love of God. Pastor Frank, it's important to teach people to have faith in God. But it's more important to teach people to discover how much God loves them. At the last minute, that can be the last thing that holds you. We are more than conquerors through him that did what? That loved us. When they were surrounded by the army of Egypt with all their weapons, Moses said to them, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptian you see today, you shall see them no more. Can I hear you say that? For the Egyptian you see today, I stand by the authority that is in the name that is above every name. All those forces that has been coming after you, this morning is the last day you are going to see them. All those enemies that has vowed that you will not move forward, today is the day God drowns them in the Red Sea. Shout it one more time. The Egyptians you see today, you shall see them no more. Go back to that scripture. Go back. He said, for the Egyptian you see today, you shall see them no more. Verse 14. He said, the Lord, verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you and you will hold your peace. Everyone say that. The Lord shall fight for me and I will hold my peace. The ones that are more than conquerors are the ones who got the car, but they didn't pay for it. Sit down for 1 minute. I'm about to get out of here, but I'm going to pronounce some things on you. Because there's a beauty about being a woman. That beauty is that a man can fight. Travel to Korea, travel to China, travel everywhere, walk, and suddenly fight political battles, become governor, become this. You that did nothing, he will just come and spend all of that money on you. And the only reason he's doing it is because of one thing, because he does what? He loves you. We are more than conquerors. How? Through him that loved us. Now, like David, I'm a warrior. I'm a man of battle. And I walk by faith. And I've fought many battles. And I'm victorious because God was with me. But I found something greater than that. There is a place of rest in Christ, where you are not toiling, where God said to you, sit down at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So I said, Lord, teach me the secret of that place. He said, it is learning how to cultivate my love, being a person of my presence, being a worshiper,
being a man that pleases me, because love is reciprocal. It doesn't matter who starts first. The end result is that you get it back. He said, for example, if you start first, you buy that latest Benz for that lady, you give her everything that the world can offer, only to find out that she's using it to pursue her boyfriend. What are you going to do? He said, go and read what I did. Ezekiel 16, I stripped that woman I love of everything. Go and read, God fell in love with Israel and he told his story, a love story, and he used a woman to talk about it in Ezekiel 16. And he was using that to talk about his relationship with you. He stripped her. She got so beautiful wearing all this and all the clothes and all the things God gave her, and forgot who made her. And then he got his head to her head and she started playing around with all the men that came by. You see, you want to step to level 3. You have to be a man after God's heart. You have to be somebody whose greatest desire is to please him. You have to be somebody who obeys him. You know, in John chapter 15 verse 14, he said, if you want to be my friends, do what I command you. Because it cannot be one-sided. You're just collecting things from me, but you're not reciprocating my love. You are my friends if you do what I command you. And there's also John 14 verse 15. This one is 15:14. There's 14:15. Show it to them. If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. That's the secret of level 3. And that's the highest level there is. God says, sit down here, stay back. Let me fight. That's the most dangerous to the enemy. When the enemy looks, he thought he was coming for David. And now the person he sees is Jesus. He thought it was me he was fighting. Now the person that is responding is the Almighty. Those are those battles that the devil never forgets, because he will never try it again. What happens to demons? What happens to enemies at such times? That's when the Bible will say they will come against you one way and be scattered seven ways. You know, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, a group of nations came against Jehoshaphat in battle. And that's what happened there. And they went to the Lord to pray. Oh, there are too many for us. God said, calm down. He put his anointing on the prophet who spoke to them and said, hear ye, O Israel, hear ye, Jehoshaphat. If you pick up the few verses before then, he said, the battle is not yours, the battle is the Lord's. You will not need to fight in this battle. And when God said, you are not fighting, I will take care of it. He said, but I want you to come to the battlefront so you will see what I did. And so Jehoshaphat said, since God said we're not fighting, then let's do what is right to do. When God fights your battle, you have one obligation, to always give him praise. So Jehoshaphat appointed the choir to lead the front, told the soldiers to stay behind at the back, follow behind, choir in the front. It should be the soldiers in the front because it's war. He said, no, choir in the front, military men behind. But why? Because it's God that is fighting this time. The key to getting God on the battlefront is worship. The key to getting God in the battlefront is sacrifice. That's one thing about the battle of altar. You go to the altar with a sacrifice, sort out something with God, you go home and relax. It is now God versus enemy. It's now altar versus altar. You don't need to fight in this battle. A lot of us don't know this. That's why we are wasting and running up and down. You will not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself. Stand still. See the salvation of your God with you. Oh, Judah, Jerusalem, fear not, or be not dismayed. Go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Anyway, verse 18. You can even go to verse 20. You see, they fell down and worshipped. And then they rose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tokay, as they went for Jehoshaphat stood and said, here.
Ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, you shall prosper. And other people don't know the power of prophetic connection. That's why the battles of life are overwhelming them. They don't know that. You think, am I dashing somebody my money? But you end up dashing it to problems. You end up giving it to hospitals, giving it to cancer, giving it to all kinds of problems, crime robbers, all kinds of things. Because you're being too wise for your Bible. How can I give God my money? But look at all the tax collectors are in your house. This sickness finished collecting. This one will come. This one will come. When will you wisen up? There is a place of rest in God, my friend. There's a place of rest. 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 The Bible says, he that believeth will enter into his rest. You know, they elected a choir. I don't need to read the whole thing. You can read it. When they got to the battlefront, they found everybody. All those allied forces dead. They spent 3 days gathering the spoils. From today, let me say this as I close. God sent me on this job, this particular assignment. You know, there are assignments, some services where we come to teach, we are shepherds, we feed God's people. There are some other services where God gives an assignment. This particular one is an assignment. Anyone here who has been held down by any power, human or supernatural, demons or man-made, today that power falls down on your behalf. Anybody here, somebody has vowed that you are not going to move to the next level, or somebody has said over my dead body, that prophecy will come upon that person's head. Anybody here, the enemy block your road, things have been standing still, today we order a contract over your destiny. That roadblock is removed in the name of Jesus. That roadblock is removed in the name of Jesus. That roadblock is removed in the name of Jesus. The Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace. From this particular Sunday to the end of the year, into the coming year, everything about your destiny will move back into speed. Things are going to begin to happen for you in all corners. In the name of Jesus. Before you finish giving one testimony, another one has started. Lift your hands and give him praise. You see, from this particular service, you will watch. You see all those roadblocks on your path, they will disintegrate like normal. Some of you, we just have about 2 months to the end of the year. You will make so much recovery, you will wonder what is going on. I obtain an injunction from heaven against every principality, every power, every force of darkness that have been interfering in any area of your life, we bring an injunction from heaven to command them to stop now. Now, Father, let the ministry of angels be let loose. Let seasons of recovery, in every area begin. We give you praise. Go ahead and praise him. Go ahead and praise him. Go ahead and praise him. Go ahead and praise him.